This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
There are a couple of widely agreed upon third rails of politics that politicians work to avoid when possible, like changing Social Security, or guns, or abortion, or the death penalty. But LA County's district attorney went there.
All you need is to have someone commit one of these incredibly heinous crimes, such as a murder of a police officer, killing a baby, a serial rapist, and all of a sudden, the public's view can change. But right now, it's the law.
Welcome to the Monday Junior, otherwise known as Tuesday, edition of the LA Local for March 25th, 2025, brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm your electrifying host, Jonathan Service. Get it? See what I did there? Third rail, electrifying. All right, so I'm going to stick to my day job as a podcaster. On today's show, we're getting into some meaty, dense issues like, what do immigration authorities want with IRS records for illegal immigrants? And are we cutting off our nose to spite our face if we use taxpayer data to deport undocumented migrants? Or try this one out. President Trump, a man who has long held certain theories about the outcome of certain elections, signed an executive order today that seemed to be aimed squarely at how California runs its elections. But can he do that? We're getting downright nerdy on today's local, so let's start with the death penalty. An inmate hasn't been put to death by the state of California since 2006. A moratorium on executions has been in place since 2019. That was signed by Governor Gavin Newsom. And recent polling shows California voters don't seem particularly passionate about the idea of restarting the death penalty. But new LA County District Attorney Nathan Hochman campaigned on a get tough on crime message, and he promised to pursue the death penalty in spite of it not really being a thing in California for decades. So today, Hochman announced he would be seeking death penalty sentences in murder cases with special circumstances. We called up the DA to ask him, why now? He talked with KNX News anchor Rob Archer.
You know, during my campaign, I said I would revisit this issue where my predecessor had engaged in a categorical policy never to impose or even consider imposing the death penalty in any situation. So over the last several months, we have I've consulted with the experts in the field, people with the most experience in dealing with murders with special circumstances in the district attorney's office, and we came up with a policy that basically says that the death penalty will be sought, but only in exceedingly rare situations. Two examples of which would be if we ever, God forbid, had a Sandy Hook situation where over 20 school children were gunned down by a vicious murderer, or we had a Las Vegas situation where over 50 people were killed by a sniper. In those situations, the death penalty would be on the table. But then we would engage in extensive and thorough analysis, considering all the mitigating and aggravating factors, making sure that victims' voices would be heard, as well as defendants and defense counsel, in making that final decision on whether or not to seek the death penalty or to seek just life without the possibility of parole.
All right, so there's already pushback against this, as you well know. The LA County Public Defenders come out against it. He says, quote, the death penalty is a cruel and irreversible punishment that is racially biased and ineffective as a deterrent. So what is your answer to that?
So again, the death penalty has been on the books for decades. In fact, the voters had a chance over the last 15 years twice to eliminate the death penalty. The state legislature at any point could decide to eliminate the death penalty as a punishment for various types of crimes. And we know the governor although he's enacted a moratorium on carrying out the death penalty, if he wanted tomorrow to commute every death penalty sentence in this entire state to life without the possibility of parole, he could do that. As long as it's on the books, I'm obligated to consider it in the exceedingly rare cases that I've identified.
Some people saying that this is kind of a political move on your part. You're just trying to willy-nilly do everything different than what George Gascon before you did. What do you say to that?
Those are people who don't bother to engage in any way, shape, or form with reading the memo that we're going to be putting out and showing exactly how we'll go step by step through a methodical process to conduct this extensive and thorough review of the facts and the law in every single case in which the death penalty may apply, already identifying up front that it's an exceedingly rare situation.
It'll be really interesting to see which murder case Hochman picks to pursue the death penalty sentence. We'll be keeping tabs and, of course, we'll keep you posted. The Policy Wonk edition of the LA Local, soldiers on. Let's turn to illegal immigrants and taxes. The Trump administration is pressuring the IRS to start sharing data with the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency to help them identify illegal immigrants. It's part of the administration's aggressive push for mass deportations, which so far has gotten off to a pretty slow start. So what do immigration enforcement authorities want with taxpayer information? And do illegal immigrants pay federal taxes? I put these questions to tax attorney and professor Francine Lippman at UNLV. Illegal immigrants do indeed pay federal income taxes and do file their federal income taxes, correct? And have been for quite some time.
That is correct. And not only do they pay federal income taxes, but they pay into Social Security, Medicare, unemployment, and do not receive any benefits from those programs, as well as pay state and local taxes. And we are talking in the aggregate of all of those about $100 billion a year.
Okay, so what has been the arrangement? And I guess, you know, because there's no illegal immigrant president that you can negotiate with. This has just kind of been almost like a gentleman's handshake agreement for decades now. Hey, pay your taxes, file your taxes, and we will keep your information secure. We will not use it for immigration enforcement purposes. Do I have that right? And what's the kind of the genesis of that arrangement?
So under our federal income tax system, we're a don't ask, don't tell system. We really don't care about your immigration status. If you have U.S. source income, or if you're a U.S. citizen, regardless of where you live, regardless of who you are, you owe federal income taxes. And since about 1976, after President Nixon weaponized the Internal Revenue Service against his political enemies, the burden has been on the government to demonstrate why they would need federal tax information from the IRS. The default is your information, my information, any taxpayer's information is confidential. That's self-serving because we want everyone to pay their taxes, regardless of who they are.
As a longtime tax professional, what are the short-term, long-term impacts of federal tax filing for all of those hundreds of thousands, likely millions of illegal immigrants that's been undergoing for decades?
The exception that the federal government is trying to push on is that if you have a court order that there has been some criminal wrongdoing, then you can present that to the IRS and get information to the extent that's all verifiable. So this is the exception, but my sense is they are not going to present court orders. The court order requires due process. Someone could say someone's a criminal, and in fact, we're seeing that now in contexts where the individual doesn't have the opportunity to prove they're not. And that's what we're concerned about, the lack of due process.
All right, quick break here to take care of some business. We'll be right back with Donald Trump's vision for how American elections should be run. Unsurprisingly, the ACLU takes a very different view. It's the LA Local for March 25th, brought to you by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. Welcome back to the super nerdy edition of the LA Local. I'm your geeky host, Jonathan Service. We touched on the death penalty and taxes, so let's end with voting. President Trump is a guy with strong opinions on elections. This much we know very well. Today, he signed an executive order putting forward his vision for remaking federal elections, but there is one small problem. Elections are run by the states. Can the president change all of that with a mere executive order? Among other things, Trump is seeking to require proof of U.S. citizenship when people register to vote and demanding that all ballots be received by Election Day. That one in particular seems like a shot at California, where we take weeks to count our votes since ballots can arrive here in this state well after Election Day. KNX News anchor Rob Archer talked about all of it with Davin Rosborough. He's deputy director with the ACLU Voting Rights Project. They are suing Donald Trump.
So federal law currently says that you have to attest under penalty of perjury that you're a United States citizen. So the order that's coming here, first of all, it contradicts existing federal law. But the real problem is that this is it's a solution in search of a problem. The documents that would be required are documents that millions of United States citizens do not have easy access to. Not everyone has a passport. Some people, may not have easy access to a birth certificate. So just to register to vote, rather than saying, I attest under penalty of perjury that I am a United States citizen, that we would have to go undertake this burdensome process to fix a problem, this purported problem of voter fraud, which is not a problem in any significant number.
The other thing in the executive order is requiring that all ballots have to be submitted to counting centers by Election Day. I assume that would cover vote by mail ballots. Some people have come up to the problem of they mailed their ballots a week before, but somehow it got there late. And so in this case, it wouldn't be counted. First of all, the first question is, does President Trump have the authority to tell states how to count and when to count their ballots? And what would be your opposition to having ballots be registered by voting day?
Right. Both good questions. President Trump does not have that authority. Now, Congress does have that authority with respect to federal elections, and Congress has set out, laws to make sure that there is a national election day. But that has always been understood as allowing, so long as a ballot is submitted, whether it's dropped off or put in the mail, postmarked by Election Day, states to have leeway on deciding how they how they receive and process ballots. And just to your point, not only are there postal service delays, we have military voters, and overseas voters that rely on this. This could undo that. And so that's another problem. Of course, everyday voters, you're making this harder on people. You're leaving this more up to chance. But rather than saying in a state like California that has a law saying, you, as long as you submit your ballot by Election Day, so long as it gets there a certain point of time after, it counts, right? So it's going to burden certain groups, voters with disabilities, overseas service members, disproportionately. And there's just no good reason to do it.
Thank you so much for nerding out with me on this Tuesday edition of the LA Local. The LA Local is sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 14 dealerships at lacarguy.com. I'm your host, Jonathan Service. I've got to get to work retaping the broken bridge of my glasses. Until then, see you tomorrow.